and dance is just another one of those forms of worship that we have. And so I saw them on Mother's Day do that, and I thought, wow, we really want to share that with everybody. So, plus they practiced. Why do it once, right? So we'll just keep running you through here. So, how about worship night? Should we do have them do it on worship night?
Woo!
There we go. We'll have even more people for you the next time. They're like looking at each other like, what is this crazy guy talking about? Pastor Enrique, help us. So I'm sitting because my back, I don't know what I did to my back. It must be something about this church and pastors and their backs. Because this week, I've spent most of the week lying in bed trying to stay out of pain, but apparently, according to the doctors, I have like 3 discs that are really compressed and they're pushing on my nerves, and so I went through this a little last summer and thought, okay, you know, things are better, and I got an injection in my back and things were better, and then this hit like last week and it's worse. Last year it was on the right, now it's on the left, and so it's worse this year than it was last year, so I'm supposed to get an injection on June 17th, but I share too much. Anyhow, so that's why I'm sitting, and I might stand when I start getting uncomfortable again, so just so you know, that's what's happening. I'm not being lazy. So, but anyhow, so we are in a series on the Holy Spirit called The Comforter Is Come. And we started this on Pentecost Sunday just a couple weeks ago. And we're looking at who the Holy Spirit is, why we need the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit does. And as I said, we started this on Pentecost Sunday. We looked at and talked about the time that the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. There were 120 of them waiting on the Holy Spirit as Jesus had told them to. And they were in Jerusalem. And the Comforter came that day, and we see this rushing wind and pillar of fire and tongues of fire. They spoke in tongues, and 3,000 people were saved that day. And so that was the day that the church was launched, and were introduced a little more personally to the Holy Spirit. Although we see throughout Scripture that Holy Spirit has been present all the way back to creation. And we said last week, as we looked at who the Holy Spirit is, we said that it's important to know that the Holy Spirit is the great engine of the church. That He guides us into all truth. He teaches us and reveals the future to us. And as we continue to look at our theme of revival this year, the Holy Spirit is the key factor for revival for us as Cloverdale Church, but as the church as a whole. And so we also said that the Holy Spirit transforms and empowers God's people. God's Spirit transforms His people to share His moral character and empowers them to fulfill His purposes. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit is a person, but He is also God. So we talked about Him being the third person of the Trinity, one of the persons of the triune God. He's every bit as much God as God the Father, God the Son. And so today we're looking at why we need the Holy Spirit. And I think this is very important for us to understand, because it doesn't matter how good your intentions are, it's impossible to live the life the Bible speaks about on your own. You can have good intentions, you can have the best intentions and desires in the world to live a good life and to be a good person, but we are limited in all reality, we are limited on us being able to do that and meet those standards. And there's limits to what we can manage on our own. And so we need to understand that as people of God and just as people in general, that we cannot do all this on our own. And so we can know what is right and wrong according to our upbringing or our surroundings, and our conscience can help us to a certain point, but you know, we can even manage a good bit of self-control over what people see, but on our own, we fall short. And so, no one can guide our lives better than the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we need God. We need Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is God, is Jesus. They are three in one. And so I'm done now.
Amen.
Hey, stop it back there. The Holy Spirit empowers. That, and let's get one thing, you know, out of the way, get one thing straight first. Whether you're a believer or not, the fact of the matter is you're already dependent on His power. Because it's the Holy Spirit who gives life. We mentioned this last week, that right at the beginning of the Bible, we find the Ruach Elohim in the creation story. It says in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1-2, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Ruach Elohim is a Hebrew phrase meaning Spirit of God. Ruach means breath, wind, spirit. And this phrase is found in the original translation of Genesis 1-2. Ruach also means a mighty, powerful wind. A rushing wind, you could say. So when we are looking at the beginning of creation and we see the Holy Spirit hovering, we get this picture of this mighty rushing wind going over the face of the waters. And you know, you can just imagine the power of the Holy Spirit moving across the earth. Then in Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit come as a mighty rushing wind. I believe that this is not a coincidence. That this mighty rushing wind and this new life and mission is unleashed as the church is born. And so we need the Holy Spirit for life. We need the Holy Spirit for our new life in Christ. So when I think about this truth, I feel nothing but wonder and awe of God's greatness. And I feel the heavy reality of how sacred life really is. I mean, a new mother, a mother who's just pregnant, can probably relate and feel this. That the reality of this unborn child that she is carrying has had the breath of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit, poured into their child. And that this life is being created and formed by the Holy Spirit. Job makes it plain on how dependent we are on the Holy Spirit. In Job 34:14-15, it says, if God were to take back His Spirit and withdraw His breath, all life would cease, and humanity would turn again to dust. Think about that. If the Holy Spirit were to pull back away from life, Job says, all life would cease, and humanity would again turn to dust. So the gift of life is a beautiful thing, but the Holy Spirit's power and why we need Him doesn't just stop there. We weren't created and then abandoned. The Holy Spirit is present with us right now in our lives, in this church. The work of the Holy Spirit, the work that He has done and is still doing today is vast. And next week we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit does, but today I want us to focus in and narrow it down on why we need the Holy Spirit. And we've received life through Him. And another reason why we need Him is that the Holy Spirit gives us power. He gives us power to serve. He gives us power to witness. He gives us power to live the gospel. The Bible and the Old and the New Testaments is full of true stories that detail how the Spirit of the Lord frequently comes upon people so that they could be used by God to fulfill His purposes.
Yeah, that's right.
And here's just a few examples. Joshua was empowered with leadership skills and wisdom. Bezalel was given special artistic skills for the construction of the tabernacle. Prophets such as Isaiah and Daniel all prophesied under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and his subsequent miracles fill the pages of the Gospels. And the disciples and the early Christians worked miracles and had great power when they proclaimed the word. The work of the Holy Spirit is still happening today.
Amen.
As Christians and as the church, we are utterly dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we want to do great things for God, it is not through our own strength that we accomplish anything worthy of Jesus, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that makes us different.
Amen.
I like the way Francis Chan says it. And he wrote this in his book, Forgotten God. The world is not moved by our love or our actions that are of human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence is in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. Why are we different than the Elks Club or the Moose Lodge or the VFW? Because we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And people should see that in us. They should see the difference in us because we have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are just an Elks Club, or we are just a Moose Lodge, and we're just a social club. And that's not what God wanted when he sent his Holy Spirit to start the church. The Holy Spirit empowers Christians for service in many ways, such as giving spiritual gifts to transform them and to equip them for ministry. And Paul illustrated this in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12. Starting in verse 4 through 11 in 1 Corinthians. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another to the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Notice it doesn't say that we have a gift of grumpiness. So you cannot do that well. You're not allowed to do that well. So before I move forward, though, let me address some things here. Because this is an area that of great confusion in the church at times. And for some, it's confusion, and then there's also been abuse with this. And first, with full transparency, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in every gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see them throughout Scripture. And as I said, I believe in all of them. And I believe we need them just as much today as the early church did back in the beginning of Acts. That means I believe in tongues. I believe in the gift of tongues. Now, some churches say, well, yeah, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but let's leave tongues out. And that's wrong. Because now you're picking and choosing what you want from the Bible. And so if you do that with one thing, how much more are you doing that with other things? So tongues is a gift that is explained in the book, in the Bible. Throughout the New Testament, we see it. Now, I honestly could do a whole series, and maybe one of these days I'm going to, on the different gifts, but obviously I don't have that kind of time today. And so, although, if you want a 2-hour sermon, when you're looking on the app for Cloverdale Church, don't pick another Cloverdale. There is another Cloverdale out of Canada, and there's like a 3-hour message on their website, on their message. So, anyhow, you can watch that and then appreciate us here on Sunday. So, anyhow. But let me say this. Tongues is a gift. And we see it in the Gospels, in the New Testament. And I believe in tongues, and my understanding of tongues from studying Scripture is that there are tongues used for public edification, which we see in the beginning in Acts. In Acts 2, when they speak in tongues, and people around hear their language. And this is a proper use of it. And because they could hear what the Holy Spirit was saying through these people in their own language. Now, I will also believe that if it's used in a public setting, like a church service, that if somebody gives a message in tongues, it better be interpreted. Because if somebody gave a tongue here today that was in an unknown language to us, we wouldn't understand it. So how are we edified through that? That is where somebody must interpret it. And I've been in church services where somebody gives a tongue and no one interprets it. And that should have been shut down. It should have been questioned at that moment. And that person should have been talked to. Now, I've had pastors that have served under that are more worried about whether you tithe or not. So if that person was a tither and gave a tongue, he was okay. But I don't believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't cause confusion. And therefore, if somebody gives a tongue, it must be interpreted. Now there's also, from my understanding of my study of Scripture, there is also a personal tongue for prayer and time when you are with God alone. Now I will tell you, I've prayed in tongues, I've spoken in tongues, I've interpreted tongues. So yes, I believe in tongues. But I'm not going to sit here and espouse the importance or that tongues is the end all be all, because it's not. And Paul says that clearly in Scripture, that I would have for you to prophesy over speaking in tongues. And that's where I differ from my previous fellowship, is that I don't believe that tongues is necessarily the initial physical evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I believe it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that in proper use is edifying to the church. I've been in a church service where somebody gave a tongue in a language that I didn't understand. There was an interpretation given that definitely edified the church, but there was also somebody in that congregation that spoke that language. And I was there when that person came to the pastor and said, "That is exactly what God said." And how did they know my language? And that brought them to faith in Jesus. Because it was a call to them. That they had been praying, "God, say something to me if you were there." And they came to faith in Christ. There's, as I said, there's also abuses of it. You know, the thing is that the Holy Spirit, God gives us, you know, free will, free choice. And yes, we can do things to manipulate, to call, you know, to create confusion. And that has a lot to do with your heart and where you are in your relationship with Jesus. I've seen healing happen. I have sat in a service where somebody that had been in our congregation for, and I had been there for months, they were in a wheelchair. And saw them go to the altar and be prayed for, and they were healed, and they never used that wheelchair again.
Amen.
I've seen my own son healed of food allergies because my daughter, when she was 4 and had the faith of a child, prayed for her little brother so that he would be able to eat the same things as her. And he was healed. And believe me, Tina and I tested it. I mean, he was allergic to red dye. He would go bonkers. I mean, he would flip tables. He was like 2 and a half. And he would just go nuts if he had a little red Kool-Aid or anything. And after Courtney prayed for his healing, he was healed. And we gave him Kool-Aid. We gave him stuff that he wasn't supposed to have. Never the same. But to this day, he loves cranberry juice and Reese's peanut butter cups because they were the two things that he could have that didn't cause him issues. I have seen healing. And I've read the stories of the great revivals in the early 1900s and in Azusa Street and in Los Angeles, and people that came with crutches and wheelchairs and canes, and there were piles of them left as people were healed. Because I believe that these gifts are for today. We don't see them as much today in the United States because, honestly, we have great medicine. And we have these abilities for people to be healed through doctors and through medicine. It, you know, to me, it doesn't mean that we don't rely on medicine, but that, you know, we rely on the Holy Spirit. We rely on God to direct us. That's why I'm willing to take an injection in my back in a couple weeks to get relief, because we have medicine that can help me. Now, if God wants to heal me today, at this altar, then I'm happy to take that too. You know, I'll save the deductible. but I can take it either way. I've seen people who the Holy Spirit has come on them and they have great faith and they go, this is where God is leading us and this is what we're going to do. And God does something great through them. I mean, people like, you know, you look at Billy Graham. That was a man of great faith. And that is because of the Holy Spirit. All of the gifts are meant to help us. And so the Holy Spirit makes our prayers effective. He makes the scriptures come alive and he speaks to our hearts. You know, as we're reading and we, you know, pray, Holy Spirit, help me to understand this. He is going to help you. He's going to speak to you. Now, if you're just approaching it as, oh, I've got to check this off my list today, I don't think the Holy Spirit's going to help you much. But when you are centered in and seeking, you know, Jesus said, seek me and you will find me. Well, that includes inviting the Holy Spirit to help you seek him. He empowers us to overcome spiritual opposition. He helps us in our work, in other people's lives. The Spirit of God also gives us discernment in different situations. You know, there's times when we face spiritual conflict and we need discernment in those moments. And God gives us that through His Holy Spirit. And he helps us when we need clarity. You know, we can try and make a decision on our own, and sometimes we might make the right decision, but a lot of times we fail at it. You know, the times that I've tried to make a decision without the Holy Spirit, it has not, you know, has not been good. We've struggled. Which leads us to our third reason why we need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always guide us away. Will always guide us away from sin. And when you know His voice, when you know His promptings, you will know when He is leading you away from sin. The reason the Holy Spirit leads us away from sin is that sin is so dangerous. Sin brings chaos. It brings confusion. It brings, it just leads us down the path of disaster and destruction. As I said, you know, like when in a church service, when somebody is using the gifts and abusing the gifts, they're causing confusion. And that's a sin. The Holy Spirit, when we are in tune with Him, will lead us away from that. And sin is anti-God, it's anti-Christ, and it's anti-Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus came to rescue, redeem, and restore us. That is why He wants to see revival in us. That is why Jesus came to bring us new life. He came to make it possible for us to live a whole new kind of life here on earth. And that's why He sent the Comforter. So John 16:5-15 says, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So as I wrap this up, the Holy Spirit can be a guide for you, showing you your own sin and giving you power to overcome the sin that you are conscious of. But he can also help you overcome the sin and become cleansed from the unconscious sin. There's times where we're going through life that we are sinning and maybe we don't even realize it, but the Holy Spirit will convict us and guide us away from it. Things that you just weren't necessarily aware of. He's called the Spirit of Truth, the Helper and the Teacher, and He can train you in righteousness and give you all the power you need to live a victorious life. If you have the Holy Spirit, He can actually make things very clear to you. It's not something mystical where you sit and meditate and hear this mystical voice, although sometimes maybe it does. We're telling you what to do, but the Spirit will guide you in the right direction. And sometimes it comes in promptings, sometimes we call it an inner voice, And sometimes people do hear an audible voice. We saw Samuel back in the Old Testament, that Samuel heard the voice of God, heard the Holy Spirit calling to him. And so Holy Spirit can talk to us in many different ways. But you can learn to hear His voice. If you don't know His voice now, You can learn to hear his voice by being obedient to God's word and in what he works in your heart. And that takes time, time with us spending time with him in his word. You can tune your ears so that you can hear his voice more and more clearly. The deeper you delve into his word and spending time with him, the Spirit can guide you through all things, which is a tremendous comfort. And a good reason why he's also called the Comforter. Enrique and Maria wouldn't be here if it wasn't because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Tina and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Gary and Arlene wouldn't have been here previously if it wasn't because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it was because of the leading of the Holy Spirit that Gary and Arlene stayed here and went through everything they went through in ministry and continue to stay here. It's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. The Holy Spirit has many things to tell you. And he can give you strength, he can give you help, comfort, and guidance. By obeying him, you can live a faithful life that you've longed for. Some of us go through life and we think, well, why can't I have that? And it's probably because you're not spending the time with him. Because that's what he wants for you. He wants you to spend time with him in his word. He wants you to spend time with him so that you can have communion with him and always be in tune with his voice. And you can become an heir with Christ and an overcomer, someone with a future, and not only here on earth, but in all eternity.
Amen.
So have you asked yourself, have you received the Holy Spirit? As we talked about last week, in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you must know him. By knowing him, you know Jesus. By knowing God, you know him. You know Jesus, as we said, three in one. Have you sought to know him? So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because he gives us life. The breath of life and the abundant life. He gives us power and he guides us. 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. God, I thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Comforter. I thank you for your leading. I thank you for your gifts. God, may we worship you fully with our hearts. May we spend the time with you to know this abundant life that you have for us. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide us through every step of our day. May we hear your promptings, may we know your will, may we know your direction. When we need clarity, we ask for clarity, Lord. And God, if there's any unconfessed sins or sins that we may not be aware of, allow your Holy Spirit to show them to us, to convict us, to help us to come to you, repent, and be made whole. God, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And allow your Holy Spirit to move in this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we stand again and worship God.